You're listening to some of my best and most knobbly bits from today's show. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 2. Bumper cars, while great fun, don't normally achieve great speeds, but inventor Colin Furze has changed that by retrofitting a bumper car that's now capable of achieving 100 miles an hour. Colin, good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, how are we doing?
Not too bad. Now, you have form in this regard before. We might get to this later on. But specifically for the bumper car, this was in connection with Top Gear. They kind of basically asked you to do this.
Yeah, they kind of set me a challenge of making Stig a new ride. And I kind of thought, well, you know, we want to try and scare the old boy, really. He's used to driving around in sports cars that have been manufactured to a certain specification and that he's got seat belts and everything in. So I thought, let's get something a little bit more edgy and make it go really quick. So I got a bumper car.
Right. And is this now a world record?
Yeah, it's official Guinness World Record of just over 100 miles an hour. But the actual top speed that we got on the day was 107, but you had to do it in both directions. And we had a bit of a crosswind, and also that the runway that we were on wasn't quite level. Unfortunately, the crosswind and the level meant it only went 93 in the other direction. But still an average 100 miles an hour, which of course is still good.
Right.
For a bumper car, you can't argue with that.
No, you can't really. But and were there any other high-speed bumper cars to compare that with anyway?
No. This is the only one that can reach these speeds. I've seen a couple of people put like mobility scooter motors in them and kind of trundle around town, but none of them do 100 miles an hour, no.
Right. Now, you put a Honda motorbike engine into the bumper car, but presumably the rest of it was a genuine bumper car.
Yeah, I mean, the shell was a bumper car, the tyre was a bumper car, the actual chassis, I mean, and the frame, I had to kind of make bespoke. Because bumper car chassis, I mean, the one that we use, it was an old 1960s bumper car. It was like a big lump of cast aluminium, so you couldn't really work with that. You couldn't really weld to it properly. And it was a funny shape, but it was blooming heavy as well. So we kind of did away with all that. But the main thing while I was doing it is, you know, you couldn't see anything from the outside. We couldn't put the wheels on the outside or anything like that. It all had to go within the shell. So if you were to look at it from a distance, you would just think it's a normal bumper car.
All right. So from the point of view of the Guinness Book of Records, their criteria was it has to look like a bumper car.
Yeah. Has to resemble a normal bumper car. So you can't have any. There's no point getting the shell and putting it on top of a go-kart or anything like that. Because it's just, you know, you'd see all the wheels and all the bits and bobs. So, and that's where the skill is, getting it all to fit in the hull.
Mm. Now, so when the Stig was driving it, when you were going for this record, is there a seat belt in it or anything like that?
No, well, no. I don't know if anyone's seen the video. I mean, I rode it with just a seat in, as you would do in the fair, but because BBC have slightly stricter health and safety parameters than I do, I mean, they actually have some, we had to make a roll hoop for Stig, which kind of resembles something in the end. But he still didn't have a seatbelt in, but he did have to have this external kind of phallic-shaped roll hoop.
Right, okay. I don't even want to think about that. Because I was thinking about this, that the only, you know, when you're in a bumper car, you know, in a bumper car arena thing, you can maybe hurt your knee if it bangs off something. You know, if you're kind of jammed into it, especially if you're adult-shaped. Did he have similar difficulties to that?
Yeah, I mean, you do sit quite, you are very cramped in it. Your knees do stick up, and there isn't a lot of room inside it because obviously, unlike the fairground options, they haven't got a big 600cc sports bike engine in between your legs. So, yeah, it is a bit tight.
Mm.
But you know, it's just the way it is. If you want to go fast in a bumper car, you have to make some sacrifices.
You do, yeah.
But was one of those.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what do you expect? It's a bumper car. Now, just to explain to people, Colin kind of does this for a living. Would that be fair enough to say?
Yes, I somehow have managed to carve out a job of doing this through the wonderfulness of the internet.
You've made the world's fastest stroller with turbojet engines.
World fastest stroller or pram, depending on where you are in the world.
Okay.
That didn't have turbojet engines. That did have that had a motorbike engine in it.
Right, okay.
Which now, was, you know. Good.
Now, again, the same criteria, like, did it look like a pram?
Oh, well, actually, I thought it looked like a very good pram. It kind of, you know, like those old Airstream caravans, like aluminium caravans, like you see in the 50s sort of thing. It kind of looked a little bit like that. I called it the man pram because, I mean, the inspiration for this was I was due a son, and we was looking around like the shops at prams and stuff, and I thought, these are all catered towards the women. I was like, where's the man pram?
Right.
You know, I want to feel, you know, I've produced a child. I want to, you know, resonate testosterone around the neighbourhood, and these prams are not doing that for
okay.
me.
Okay. Isn't the pram for the baby, really?
Well, I mean, that's ultimately what the job is for. But, you know, as the driver of the pram, you know, you've got to feel confident and comfortable with your purchase.
Yeah. So, so can you ride the pram?
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like a little trolley type thing that you sit on behind it. Because again, for Guinness, they said that you had to be in the kind of normal position that you would be in for a pram, so you couldn't sit in it yourself. Mm. So it kind of got these trolley things that you put your two legs on, and then all the controls and everything are all on the handlebars. And I mean, that does 50 miles an hour, but that is way more sketchy than the Dodgem doing 100 miles an hour, because the steering was terrible. It would, you know, the brakes were practically non-existent, and it could get into a little bit of a wobble, because Dodgem was actually quite steady, even at a ton.
Right. Okay. Is that, I suppose, maybe because the bumper car was just heavier?
Yeah, it was very, very low centre of gravity, because them tyres, they weigh quite a bit.
Yeah.
They go around the outside of them.
Now, with the pram, though, I mean, that doesn't have a world record at the moment. Are you hoping it will have a world record?
No, it does. Pram's got a world record.
Oh, does it? Pardon me. I take that back. Did you have to have a baby in the pram to get the world record?
No. Thank goodness for that. that would have opened me up for some social services visits, wouldn't it? Put my actual child in it.
At the very least, I would have thought. Now, vacuum cleaner shoes.
Oh, yeah. This is a good one. We all walk around the house and we do the hoovering. So I thought, why don't we combine the two actions?
Yeah.
So I made some hoover shoes. So, I mean, you can do a little dance. It's, you know, never mind keep fit videos. Get a set of hoover shoes. Do your little dance around the lounge, and as well as keeping fit, you actually hoover up and complete a domestic task. What's not to like?
That's brilliant. What do the Hoover shoes look like?
Well, basically, they're two baking trays on your feet.
Yeah.
With like big pipes coming out to like a backpack, which has all the Hoover motor in and everything. So it's probably not the most practical in terms of stealthiness.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to know you're wearing them, but you know, it's not all about that. You know, they serve a purpose.
Yeah, but you don't have to go and do the hoovering, because just as you're going around the house, you're hoovering.
You're just doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
I need to make a cordless version, so you haven't got the tether of the cable.
Ah, right, okay, yes, you do, really. I can imagine it might be limited. And do you use the Hoover shoes in your own home?
Yeah, I use them. I use them sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the great thing that you can do with the Hoover shoes is, because I've kind of cannibalised the Hoover, you can make the Hoover fire what you've hoovered out the back of the rucksack. So you can have a bit of fun with it. So
cool.
If somebody's sat on the sofa, and you can fire all the muck that they've spread all over the floor into them.
Yeah. And also, seeing we're talking about your home, don't you have like a giant replica of one of those Star Wars walker things in your back garden?
Yes, I've got a giant AT-AT, or ACT as they're called in the new film. It's basically, as Family Guy would put it, there's a giant robot camel. It's a huge 5.5 metre playhouse that sits in the garden. I mean, it's amazing. The neighbours aren't too pleased with it, but you know, they're just not Star Wars fans. So
yeah, no sense of humour. What's a toasting knife?
The toasting knife is exactly what it says on the tin. It's a knife that toasts as it cuts.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and it does work.
Yeah, so if it was like an unsliced bread, obviously it only works on unsliced bread, or could you take a piece of sliced bread and just kind of coat it on each side and it's toasted?
Yeah, you can kind of run it over the surface.
Yeah.
It kind of works just as well. What it's also quite useful for as well, I mean, with winter just gone, when you try and butter bread, the butter's been on the side and the butter's rock hard, and you can't spread it. So because it's a heated knife, it just melts it
as
you spread it. So, you know, it's probably best use for that, really.
And so is it adjustable, so you can have the bread just a little bit warm rather than actually toasted?
No, it's just full bore. Everything I make is full bore. There's no adjustment on anything. It's either terrifying or it's off.
Right. And Colin, Colin's also made an ejector bed like they have in Wallace and Gromit. Wallace and Gromit, that kind of sends people through the window and stuff. So is that full bore?
Yeah, you can. If you put that on full blast, it put you in the loft, or the attic. It's proper powerful, that thing is. Proper. When I first built it, I tested it in front of a bouncy castle, to chuck me into a bouncy castle, and it was interesting. You could probably get whiplash off it.
Right.
That'd be an insurance claim, wouldn't they? Got whiplash off my bed.
Colin, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's inventor Colin Furze there.